We're here in the house of God to worship the Lord, and we're going to sing together 145, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess him, King of glory now. We'll rise to sing. That's a good singing. Let's read our psalm for today, Psalm 65. Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and cause us to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things and righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy. They also sing. You may have noticed the the word of our presbytery regarding Catherine, Princess Catherine, and our thoughts being with her also as a nation. And we re-echo that as a church. And we remember this lady in prayer, and we seek the Lord's blessing and help upon her also. It is our earnest prayer. It says that our God shall, by his tender mercies and through his healing touch, restore health to her body, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17, and bring his saving strength to her soul, Psalm 20, verse 6. Let's bow together in prayer. Here, Lord, in this house of God, we come before the presence of a God that is holy, full of majesty, a God who is righteous and just in all his ways, and a God who is long-suffering and merciful. And as we do so, it is with a heart that is filled with praise and adoration to God. We thank you for the health and strength that we enjoy, enabling us to be in the place of public worship. And Lord, you've led us here that we might be not only together, but before the Lord. And he's promised regarding his house to put his name there. And he's promised to bless his people who assemble in his name. And Lord, we seek that blessing today from the outset of our coming together into your house. Let the blessing of God be upon this congregation, that the Lord might bless them and keep them and make his face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them and lift up his countenance upon them and give them peace this very day. We pray as we continue in this service, in every part of it, in our worship, in our praise, in the singing of the songs, in the reading of your word, and in the preaching of it, that the Lord will be in every part, directing our way, counseling us with his wisdom, teaching us the good things that we need to know, and enabling us more than anything just to approach unto him and hear from him today. Let not one leave without hearing that voice, the voice of our beloved as he speaks. Give us an interest, give us a desire every time we come to God's house to meet with the Lord and to hear from him. And Lord, when we come with that true desire of heart, we will not leave disappointed. The Lord will speak. Make it such a day of blessing, a day of your right hand, a special Sabbath. We pray that you'll bless this worship service. And then tonight, our gospel meeting, as we meet in your name once more, that you will pour out the Spirit of God upon the congregation and that you will bless us together here. Lord, we remember the sick of the congregation. Remember the many that are on the prayer list. They are known name by name to the Lord. And here are a people who bring their cases before the presence of the Lord continually through the week and here on the Sabbath day. And we remember them for good. And we ask the Lord to remember them in this way also, that he might extend his healing touch. Remember Lydia, and Lord, you've given her grace, and Ryan too, and the family. We pray that you'll continue to bestow that grace and add grace to grace every day. And remember those that are in hospital. We commit them into your care. We've prayed about them already at the early season of prayer. And remember this other lady from our convoy church who is ill and getting treatment. Tanya, Lord, we commit her into your hands. Lord, touch her and heal her, we pray. And Lord, remember the royal house at this time. We commit Princess Catherine into your care. She is someone from the high society, we know that. And yet we realize that disease is no respecter of persons. It comes to the high, it comes to the low, it comes to the religious, it comes to the irreligious, it comes to the old, it comes to the young. And yet in the midst of it all, certainly as your people, we want to prove the Lord in such times. And here's a dear lady who needs your touch at this time. And as our presbytery has indicated, we pray for the restoration of health. And Lord, we pray for a real move of God in the soul of this lady that will lead her in truth to salvation. Lord, hear our cries today. Meet with us. Be one of our number. In Jesus' name. Amen. 123. I'll not be with you next week. I say that sadly in so many ways. We've never missed Easter, but we didn't realize that Easter was so early when we booked last August to go to the conference in Romania. But we'll sing this hymn about the resurrection. You can sing it any time. And any Lord's Day is a reminder of the resurrection of Christ, this first day in which we meet. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living whatever man may say. I'm going to stand again to sing. That was good singing today, and it'll be good singing next Lord's Day. I know that, and we will miss hearing the choir. We'll try to tune in, of course, but we look forward to really singing and rejoicing next weekend in a crucified and a resurrected Savior. Can I bid you welcome in the Lord's great name to God's house on this beautiful Lord's Day? If you're visiting with us, a special welcome to you. And I see Colin from the Martyrs from Belfast with us. And, well, Colin goes back a long way, you know, with my wife particularly, going to the Martyrs in those days. And whenever Susan and I came together and we got married, we got to know Colin. So welcome, Colin. And welcome to those that are joining us on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. The gospel meeting is tonight at 7. I want to preach on the tears of the Bible. It's a thought that came to me this week, and I was just thinking about individuals, and they are related to tears. And we're going to look at some of these individuals tonight, and there's a message for us. Remember the prayer meeting. Come and pray with us, please, at 6:30 if you can. Refreshments will be served. It's the normal refreshments tonight. Ladies, please help with that. Remember, because of the Easter holidays, there's no Hebron Tots on a Monday morning for the next couple of weeks. There will be the conference in Romania. We're asking you to pray, 26th of March to the 2nd of April. And we're leaving on Tuesday morning, God willing, at 4:30 in the morning. Anyone that wants to come and see us off, you know, you'll be welcome. I'm sure there'll be a good crowd outside the manse on Tuesday morning just to say farewell to the pastor. Anyhow, remember us, we arrived Tuesday evening at some stage in the area of Badilla, maybe 6 o'clock that evening. So then through the week, we have an arrangement morning, noon, and evening. The conference is actually the evening time from 5 o'clock till 9. And we will be speaking 3 times. We are allocated an hour each time. So pray for us that we'll have the physical strength, that my voice will keep up each evening. For that's 12-hour sessions over these 4 nights, Wednesday through to Saturday. And then all the itinerary in between in the morning and the afternoon. And then on the Lord's Day, we're preaching in 2 different places and traveling on to Campina at night, where Pastor Emmanuel lives. And then we have a school in the morning, and some visiting in the morning as well, and afternoon, and then a men's prayer meeting in the evening time before leaving for the airport at 5:30 the following Tuesday. I had a very interesting visit to my son and his wife yesterday. It was very interesting all round, but what made it more interesting, as Susan and I were driving in, there were some little lambs, and they were out on the lane, and they had just somehow got out of the field, and Carrie's uncle was chasing them. You know what lambs are like if you've ever had to chase them, and they're not easy to catch. You really have to corner them. But we went out to help, and I thought, as we go even to Romania to speak to the adults in the main, but visit the children as well, to remember the lambs of the flock, suffer the little children to come unto me, said the Lord Jesus Christ. And the lambs might be hard to catch in a spiritual sense as well. They might run away, they might jump a little bit, they might even be dirty, as this little lamb was. But we got it back into the fold. And that is the desire of our heart when we go. Just last summer, this is the area that we were in. This is our team. Most of our team, I think, is in the picture there. And a great crowd as we took part in the services. And Stephen was giving his testimony on this occasion. And that's just part of the congregation on the left side. Looking down, you'll recognize some of the faces. And then afterwards, some of the children that attended the service gathered out. But among them, you have the lambs of the flock, and here are some more of the little lambs. So pray for them, please. Samuel, remember these photographs being taken as well, the children that were there. There's 2 more little gypsies. Yeah. Well, 1 more anyhow. I'll let you decide which one, but it's a compliment. I always told my children when I said, you're just like a little gypsy, that's a compliment. And they didn't fully understand that, but I can tell you why afterwards if you ask. We have a special meeting on Thursday night because it is a deputation service on behalf of the Trinitarian Bible Society, and the Reverend Craig Dennison will be here to speak and to give a presentation of that. It's our missionary night, so prayer for our missionary work and revival will follow. Next weekend is special because it's the annual Easter convention at the Martyrs. Friday night is youth night and praise service, and the Reverend Timothy Nelson will be speaking. Saturday night at 7:30, the missionary rally. Dr. John McKnight from the United States will be the preacher, and he'll be the preacher on Monday night as well, which is the convention rally. Macrofelt Choir will sing, and for those that need children looked after during the service, the Kids Club will run during this meeting. We commend it to you. On Friday night, young people, for our youth fellowship, the buses will be running for you, and if you can be here at the church at 7:15, that should give good time to get there and to get you seated before the meeting commences. Friday night, young people, 6:45. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting out here in the fellowship area at 8 o'clock. Sunday school at 10:30, Bible class at 10:45, and Stephen will be filling in for Phil, and he will be speaking on parallels in the Gospels. The worship service is at 12 noon, and the Reverend Gary Goods from Randallstown is the preacher. The choir will sing. The gospel service is at 7, preceded by the prayer meeting, and the Hebron choir will sing again. Mr. Jonathan Whiteside will be the preacher from Port of Ogie. So remember these services, pray much for them. It'll be a victorious day, I know, as you as a congregation rejoice in the risen Lord. If you can share this on social media, we'd appreciate that. Refreshments will also be served, and ladies, you're asked to bring half a loaf of sandwiches and a dozen buns so that on Easter Sunday at the supper time, you can enjoy just that time together as you linger on in God's house in a more informal way. The following Thursday, that's Thursday week, it's the 4th of April, Pastor Victor Maxwell will be here to introduce the film that has been produced entitled Do Something, and this is about Brother Bill Woods. He's being interviewed on this production, and you'll really enjoy it. We've seen a preview of it, and we invite you to come. We trust that many of you will. Sunday fortnight, so 2 weeks from today at the family night, Ivor will be giving his personal testimony. So remember Ivor as he comes to tell us how the Lord saved him. He has given his testimony recently. He's coming home. Sometimes it's even more nerve-wracking coming home in front of your own people, but I know the Lord will help him and give him the grace that he needs, and that can be shared as well with your friends. You can lift it off our advert on Facebook and get it out to your friends, invite them to come. And then we're looking forward to our Bible conference. It begins the following day, which will be the 8th. So Monday the 8th to Friday the 12th, the Reverend Higginson will be coming to speak on the life that counts. We're delighted to see the progress that is being made in Uganda. They're building a home for David and for Rachel, and it's begun. Foundations are being laid, and this is just some of the progress that has been made, and we're thankful for that work. Pray that everything will go well, stage by stage. Members of the mission board will be traveling out probably in the month of May, sometime from the 8th of May onwards, for a period of time, just to visit the work, see the progress, and our brother Jonathan will be part of that group that's going out, so remember them also as they prepare for that. Please continue to pray for those who need the Lord's touch. This is our prayer request list. We commend it to you, the congregation, for prayer, to take these people upon your heart and remember them as often as you can before the Lord. Our sister Lydia was asking for prayer for a lady called Tanya, who is from the Convoy Church, and she's getting treatment, and she's been quite sick with it and has ended up in hospital, really weak and ill. So she needs the particular prayers of the Lord's people at this time. One more prayer request as far as the church here is concerned, and that is for the weekly video cast. They started exactly 4 years ago today. That seems quite incredible. And next week we'll complete 300. So when lockdown came 4 years ago, we were doing this every day. And then when lockdown was lifted that little bit, we were doing it every week. And we've continued to do that. And what we do beyond that, we look to the Lord for help and for wisdom. But next week, we'll complete 300 altogether. Will you continue to pray for Ukraine? And remember, Israel, these things are still very live. A lot going on out there in both of these countries. Pray that the Lord will have mercy upon these lands and especially his people and bless them at this time. I'm going to bring our tithes and offerings into God's house. There is a retiring offering for the Christian school. When there's 5 Sundays in a month, we always give the 4th one to the school. So please remember our school as you leave. And we sing together 624. Here in thy name we are gathered. Come and revive us, O Lord. And just as you're thinking about the hymn and getting ready to sing it, 2 other things. Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available for you to have a copy as you leave the house of God today. And also in the Crumlin Road jail, the Martin brothers will be giving their life stories of God's amazing grace. And this will take place as an interview with Victor Maxwell. And the worship part will be led by the Reverend Greenfield and Alan Craig. So we just draw your attention to this again. Saturday the 11th of May, it needs to be booked, and that's why I am emphasizing it to you again at this stage. It'll be at 1 o'clock on that particular Saturday the 11th of May. Let's sing the hymn and receive the offering, please.
Thank you.
Turning to the last book of the Bible, prophecy of Malachi, and the chapter 3, as we come to read God's word. Malachi chapter 3, and just a brief reading from verse 6 through to verse 10 of this prophecy. Malachi 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And we're ending the reading there. We will come eventually to the text. And I suppose the text is more than the 10th verse. It's really verse 8 through to verse 10, dealing with this subject, robbing God, a message on tithing. But let's commit our way to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we seek thee now in the word, and we pray your blessing upon that which we will now study. We thank you for this passage and the challenge of it, and we want to feel that challenge in our hearts. And so, Lord, settle our minds down, our hearts too, before the Lord. Give us a teachable spirit and grant us the ministry of the Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to address a matter that I rarely preach on. In my over 27 years here, I've rarely preached on this subject, and it is giving to God, or tithing. And more specifically, as we come to this passage of Scripture, robbing God. We have it outlined here in the book of Malachi. Now, I preface my remarks by saying that the congregation here at Hebron are good givers in many ways to the Lord's work. To the Lord's work in general, keeps the wheels of the church turning, and we have many bills to pay in this church when we think of all our buildings and all that goes with it. Also to missionary work as we seek to support the going forth of the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth in missionary endeavor. And then, of course, to various projects here at home and further afield. But perhaps from time to time, we need to reinforce what the Bible teaches on this subject. And maybe there's a younger person here, and we have a young generation that are growing up, and you don't fully understand what your responsibility is before God when it comes to giving to Him in your tithe and your offering. Looking back, especially to the early years of married life, Susan and I, we trained up our children when they were very young to give their tithe. It's good to teach the children from the moment that they can understand. We encourage them to take their birthday money, tithe the birthday money to the Lord. We always gave them an offering, even if it was just a little something to put on the collection plate, and thus the children were being taught it's a good thing in the worship of God to give to Him. Giving back to God just a little of what He has given to us is a Bible precept and requirement. It is as important as attending church. It is as important as being faithful to the meetings of God's house. It is as important as reading and praying, because it's one of the basic requirements. It's God's command, and therefore God requires it. And when we do give to Him, we honor Him. and then we know the blessing that he sends. When we withhold our tithes, we rob God, as we see here in Malachi, and we rob ourselves of much of the blessing. I would like also to say, and maybe it's a text I should preach on sometime soon, God loveth a cheerful giver. And so when we're thinking of our tithes and our offerings and bringing them in to the storehouse, bringing them into God's house as part of our worship, it's good to give in the way that the Bible outlines in that text. He loveth a cheerful giver. You may know that the Greek word is hilarious, and you may know what English word we get from hilarious. You give hilariously, all right, cheerfully, joyfully. It ought to be our spirit. Many, many years ago, when I was just a student, I was the student minister in Ardara in those days. We asked Dr. S.B. Cook, who was the minister in Armagh, to come and do a series of meetings. It was a special Bible week, something like we have annually in the church here. And we gave him a title, an overall title, and he could choose the subjects to deal with under that title night by night. And the title was very simple and very broad, How to Live the Christian Life. And I remember well that one of those nights, he chose to speak on this very subject, on tithing. And I remember something that he said on that occasion, and it was this: 90 pence in the pound will go further with God's blessing upon it than a pound in the pound without his blessing. And you want to think about that. That's 40 years ago, and I've never forgotten what he had to say. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 brings us to what might be considered as a very strange subject, robbing God. We know that all robbery is wrong. It's breaking the 8th commandment. It's one of the commandments that God has given. Thou shalt not steal. Paul in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, he said, let him that stole steal no more. And there were obviously people before their conversion in that church perhaps that had been guilty of thievery and stealing. And now that they've come to Christ, Paul's reminding them, if that was your past, when you were unconverted, well, you steal no more. You're now a Christian. And we think of Peter in 1 Peter 4 and 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. We would never dream of stealing a car. I don't think you would anyhow. And you would never dream of robbing a bank. Or maybe you do dream about it, but you don't do it because you're a Christian. Dreams are something that are maybe more fantasy, and if you're sleeping, you mightn't have any control. So maybe you have dreamed about it. We would never consider, maybe is the better word, shoplifting. We would never consider defrauding the tax man. We would never consider pilfering somebody else's wallet. We would never consider taking things dishonestly from work. We would never consider swindling another person's inheritance. Nor would we steal in other ways. We wouldn't steal from our father, our mother, our brother, or sister, or friend, or even a stranger. We would not overcharge. If we were in a position of charging in a shop or in a business, we wouldn't overcharge people for the product that we have. And we would not take the wrong change. I hope that is the case. As many times I've received the change and I realize, well, that's wrong, and I've had to say to the girl or whoever's behind the till, you've given me too much back. I'm not going to take that because it's not mine. It's stealing. However, Malachi is speaking about something that is worse than all of these things, and that is robbing God. Is there such a thing? Of course there is, because the Bible is addressing it right here. You can rob God. You can rob God of your time, of time. You can rob God of talents that he's given to you. And you can rob God of your treasures or your tithe, as we are considering today. Now, we want to turn our attention to the prophecy of Malachi, and we want to note what he has to say here about tithing, or the lack of it. Prophets were messengers. They were God's messengers. Haggai and Zechariah, they were sent to reprove the people for delaying to build the temple. Malachi was sent to reprove the people for neglecting the temple now that it was built. These people had drifted away from God into sin. That's what we read in verse 7. The Lord says, "You're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them." They had run away from their master. They had quitted the work that he had called them to do. And yet in mercy, God extends a gracious invitation to these people to repent. Because he says in this verse, "Return unto me." Return to your allegiance. Return as a traveler that has missed the way. Return as a soldier who has deserted the battlefield. "Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But these people reply with arrogance, and they say, "Wherein shall we return?" And they are just firmly resolved to go on in their sin. They had neglected the temple, the house of God, and one area that they had neglected was in the temporal, in their obligation to God. The children of God were required to give God the tenth and the offering. And Malachi, the prophet of God, he is sent by the Lord to rebuke the people for robbing God by withholding tithes and offerings. If they repented and they did what God required of them, then they would know a superabundant blessing. It's possible in our day, when tithing is maybe not preached upon at all in some churches, for God's people to rob God ignorantly, especially if they're new in the faith. On the other hand, Christians who have been saved for many years will be aware of what the Bible teaches, what is required of us when it comes to our giving to God and our tithes and offerings. As we ponder this passage, I hope that all of us will be challenged and taught of the Lord afresh, and that we might fulfill the requirements of the Christian life and receive the promised blessing that is spoken about here. I want you to notice that there's a pointed question that is being asked here in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Many robberies have been committed. Children have stolen from their parents. They have stolen from their school friends. They maybe even have stolen from shops. Employees may steal from their employers and their workplace. It is sin. Men may steal from their neighbors and their friends. It is sin. Businessmen may steal from the government. We call it fraud. It is still sin. And then there are great robberies, you know, like train robberies and bank robberies and post offices that have been robbed, shops, private houses. In 1972, Emil Denzio, a professional criminal from Ohio, assembled a gang of six robbers and he flew them to California. They dynamited their way into a bank vault and they stole £30 million worth of cash and valuables. They were eventually identified and caught. In 1976, when Lebanon was in the midst of a civil war, a group of robbers used explosives to burst through the wall of a Catholic church and then enter the neighboring British Bank of the Middle East. They stole $44.5 million in cash, stocks, gold bars, jewels, and other valuables. None of the loot was recovered, and no one was ever arrested. And today, that stolen amount is worth at least three times that amount. In 1997, six men pulled off what may be regarded as the biggest cash theft in the history of the United States. The leader was Alan Pace, who worked in for the Dunbar Armored Trucking Company. They stole $18.9 million, and they almost got away with it, except one of the robbers got a bit sloppy, and he loaned some money to a friend without removing the original cash stamps from it, so they were caught. The week before Christmas 2004, and some of you will remember this, robbers in Belfast, dressed as police officers, entered the homes of two bank managers, and they held their families hostage and sent the managers off to work the next day, where the managers let the thieves into the bank, where they stole about £26.5 million. It was the biggest robbery in the history of our country. Stealing is stealing. Whether it's these huge amounts in the bank robberies or the little amounts that people might take, any form of theft is a direct violation of God's law. Thou shalt not steal. But the greatest of all robberies, surely, is when a man dares to rob God. Could any robbery be so iniquitous as this? Surely it must be the greatest crime. You may rob your fellow citizens, you may rob your neighbor, you may rob your home, you may rob the government, but who would attempt to rob God? And yet this is the very question that is being addressed by the prophet to these people. And sadly, even Christians today can be at fault in this. A pointed question, will a man rob God? I want you to notice that there's a plea of ignorance here. Because when the question is asked, you'll see in verse 8, the people reply, wherein have we robbed thee? So the people are saying, not guilty. We're not guilty. They rob God and they know not what they do. These people would not own up to their crimes and their sins. They answer the charge to the question, wherein have we robbed, or will a man rob God? Wherein have we robbed thee? That was the nature of these people, because they were not owning up to anything that they had done wrong. And you read the prophecy of Malachi, and you will see that to be so. For example, go back to chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord sends a message, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? So they're told, you've done this, but where do we do it? Look at chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? Look at chapter 3, verse 7. Ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Look at verse 13 of chapter 3. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You see the argumentative nature of the people. They're being challenged about their sin, but they don't want to own up to their sin. And that's time and time again, right throughout this prophecy, as the Lord's messenger is sent to challenge these people about their errors and their sins. Will a man rob God? Where have we robbed thee? And they're arguing with God. They rob God of his honor. They rob God of that which was devoted to him. They rob God of service. They rob God of Sabbath time. And yet they're saying, where have we done it? Men do not like to own up to their sin. Oh, it's an old failure, isn't it? Going back to the beginning of days, when our first parents fell, God challenged Adam about his sin. Didn't want to own up to it. He blamed it on somebody else. It's the woman that you've given me. Of course, he was blaming God, because God was the one that did give Eve to Adam. But he's trying to shift the blame. Not me. Not me. The sin's not mine. It's hers. And then, of course, she didn't want to own up to it. And she says, oh, the devil, he beguiled me. And we have this old nature within us that wants to shift the blame to somebody else, especially when we are challenged about our own personal sins. And perhaps someone is here and you've been robbing God. You've been robbing God of that which is rightfully His. You've robbed God of treasures and talents and time, but you don't want to admit it. There were those in the Bible, you know, they robbed God in the New Testament. Do you remember their names? We read about them in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. They had sold a piece of land, but they kept back part of the price. They kept it back in a deceitful, in a lying way. They were making out as if they were giving everything to the Lord. But they were robbing God because they had stolen that which they said they had given to the Lord. And we know the awful judgment that fell upon them. The plea of ignorance. And then notice the particular theft. Because the verse here is identifying the particular robbery where we robbed God. In tithes and offerings. In other words, the people retained them. They defrauded the priests of them. They would not pay their tithes. They brought not the offerings which God required, or they brought the broken and the lame and the sick, which were not fit for use. And so many, many Christians rob God this way. Oh, they wouldn't steal from the offering when it's being passed from seat to seat, from hand to hand. They would not fiddle the bank account, but they steal tithes and offerings which belong to God. Now, maybe you don't see it that way, but I want to tell you something that's very important and something I hope that you see clearly. Everything that we have, God has given. Everything. Every penny that you own, everything in your possession has been bestowed on you by the Lord. He has given us all things to enjoy. That might be our homes, it might be our business, it might be our employment, it might be our possessions, it might be our money. But the Lord is asking for the return of the tithe. It's a kind of a test to our obedience to Him. The tithe is the tenth, and the tithe is the Lord's. And that's what the Bible teaches. Tithing is a scriptural precept. You remember Melchizedek that we meet with in the book of Genesis and the life of Abraham? Lot had got himself into trouble. There was a battle had taken place. Kings had invaded the plains, or the cities of the plain. They had taken away people from the city of Sodom and taken away their goods. And of course, Lot was involved in that. He and his family were also removed. And Abraham, his uncle, he armed his men, just a small army. He went out after them and rescued Lot. In fact, he rescued all the people of Sodom and their goods. And these things were brought back. We read about it in Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. This occasion where Abraham, the patriarch, he meets with this, what we might call a mysterious character in the Old Testament by the name of Melchizedek. And in verse 20 of Genesis 14, as he meets with Melchizedek, we are told that he blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. This is Abraham, gave him tithes of everything that he had. You go to the New Testament, and you will see the summary of Melchizedek, this priest of the Old Testament. Many who believe was the Lord Jesus. It was an appearance of Christ on earth in the Old Testament. This man that was without beginning, without end, without father, without mother. In that sense, he had no natural birth into this world from a human man. But tithes were given to this man, whether he's Christ or whether he was the priest, it was given to him. And Jacob did the same. Later on in the book of Genesis, we read about this in chapter 28. This is the occasion where he has to flee from home. he goes to his uncle in Padanaram. He lays down to sleep. You remember when he had the vision that God gave to him? And he makes a promise, a vow to the Lord in verse 22 of Genesis 28. This stone, which I have set for a pillar, this is the stone that he slept on that night, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob knew what the law required, and here he's promising the Lord as he flees from his brother, Lord, whatever you give me, however you prosper me, I will give you the tenth. So it's simple, isn't it? If we receive £300, God just asking for the tenth back, which is £30. The Holy Spirit is teaching us here that some of God's people are robbing God with their tithes. Some say they cannot afford a tenth. It might well be argued that we cannot afford not to give our tenth. And then there's the offering. The tithe is the Lord's, but the offering is something personal. That's the extra bit that we give to the Lord over and above. R.A. Torrey said, many young Christians make little headway in the Christian life because they are not plainly instructed on the necessity of regular, systematic, and generous giving to the Lord. Particular theft, tithes, and offerings. Look at verse 9. For there is the plight that it brings. And verse 9 of this passage in Malachi chapter 3 reads as follows. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And God punished them with famine and scarcity, because God had punished with scarcity of bread. They even made that as a pretense. Now that they were poorer, they were impoverished, that they couldn't afford to bring their tithes and their offerings to the Lord. You know, disobedience to whatever law of God always brings the judgment of God. I would like to turn to the passages, but we haven't time. But Genesis 3:17, right back to the beginning. Because of disobedience, there was a curse pronounced. Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 to 28, but even a greater part of that chapter is all about the blessing, and it's all about the curse. A blessing about obedience and a curse about disobedience, as Israel was now going in to inherit the promised land. They were to walk obediently and know God's blessing. Jeremiah 11 and verse 3, another text you might consider. And so it is, if we withhold our tithes and offerings from God, when a man receives losses, it may be no wonder, for maybe he's been robbing God. God can always take his tithe another way. I can remember hearing about a farmer who didn't give his tenth to the Lord, and he knew he should. He was a Christian man. But you know, his animals began to die, and he began to suffer loss, and he realized something's going on here. And he purposed from that day forward he would give his tithe. If we do not make our offerings according to our income, God may make our income according to our offerings. The great C.H. Spurgeon said, poor men should give that they may not always be poor. Rich men should give that they may not become poor. One final thought, and that's the promise to the faithful. Verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God calls upon his people to bring that which is required. And God promises to bless the liberal of heart. Let me read what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We read in Luke chapter 6, and verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal shall it be measured to you again. God wants to give us the opportunity to prove him, to put him to the test. Prove me now. If we fulfill the obligations of this text, there is none telling what might follow, what God might do. God will send the spiritual blessings. Open you the windows of heaven. And that's a figure of speech. And it really brings us back to Genesis 7 and 11, the great flood that came when the windows of heaven were opened and those mighty rains fell and helped to drown the old world because of their sin. It's the same thought here of the windows of heaven being opened and a deluge coming down, only not rain this time in the physical sense, but the blessing of God in a mighty spiritual shower. In Christ, we can have the blessings of God. That's prophesied, that's promised, even from ancient times. We're singing at the early time of prayer this morning about the showers of blessing. And you know, that brings us to the prophecy of Ezekiel in the chapter 34 and verse 26. I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And I always tell the people when we sing that, we're singing scripture. There shall be showers of blessing. Someone asked, what is tithing? Let me close by just giving you a few thoughts. Mathematically, it is a tenth. Jacob said, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Genesis 28:22. Scripturally, it's a law. Moses instructed the people, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed. Deuteronomy 14:22. Deuteronomy is God's law. Economically, it is an investment. Jesus says, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. What an investment that is, Matthew 6:20. Morally, it's a debt. The people in Malachi's day are asking, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings, here in Malachi 3:10. And spiritually, it's a blessing. I will open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Again, here in our text, Malachi 3:10. And you'll notice that it's in the singular, pour you out a blessing. What would it be if God poured out a multiplicity of blessings? But here it's just a blessing. And that blessing is so powerful, that blessing is so plentiful, that God's word says there'll not be room enough to receive it. And you can make the application wherever you want. I look down today and I see a church where there's still pews that could be filled. If God was to pour out this one blessing, not room enough, not room enough. Imagine that. No more room in the church for people to come and sit because God has poured out his blessing. This is what God is willing to do, but is it our desire? Are we willing to fulfill the conditions? I wonder, are we holding back from God? Are we holding back our tithes and offerings? Are we holding back indeed the blessing that could be ours? The blessing that could be ours in our personal life, in our family life, in our church life? Well, let us be challenged by God's word today, because here in the last book of the Old Testament, the question is being asked about robbing God. Will a man rob God? If you're asking the question, how is it possible to do that? God gives the reply as he did in the prophet's time, in tithes and offerings. But brethren and sisters, bring them in. Prove the Lord and know the mighty blessing of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word that is old but ever new, your word that never goes out of fashion, that never changes, your word that is still full of challenge. And Lord, we know that in our hearts so often we hear your word and we would want to rebel against it and we want to say, not guilty. But Lord, if you've put the finger of God upon our lives today, we pray that we'll see where we have been amiss and that we will see to it that we obey the Lord in all things and not least in our tithes and offerings and know the blessing of God, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. God is here, and that to bless us with the Spirit's quickening power. We'll sing the first and final verses of the hymn in closing. Stand and sing. We pray for that personal revival. Revive the hearts of all, everyone, in the service today. Let it begin in me. Oh, gladly dethroning each rival, yield I my heart unto thee. Help me to walk in obedience to the Lord this day. And Lord, may we know the outpoured blessing that you've promised in your word. Dismiss us in your love and fear. Take us to our homes in safety and back again for the gospel meeting tonight. As we deal with the subject of tears, O Lord, bless it to the congregation in Jesus' name. Amen.